Good leadership is important because it leads to a better world. It's as simple as that. It sounds terrible, but there is good in stubbornness, you know, in certain situations, particularly entrepreneurs. I think it's about priorities. Where do you invest the time and resources and energy in?
Hello, dear Lightwolf, dear leader of the pack. Welcome to today's very special Lightwolf podcast. Today, I have the great pleasure of talking to a very successful, internationally experienced top manager. I am in a conversation with Peter Zehnder from Egon Zehnder International. Dear Peter, warm welcome to the Lightwolf podcast.
Thank you very much, Stefan. Delighted to be here.
Peter is a close advisor to entrepreneurs, to chief executive officers, owners, and non-executive directors. He's also a member of Egon Zehnder's family business advisory practice. Prior to joining Egon Zehnder, Peter was global head of brand development at Zurich Insurance Group, leading global digital marketing, sponsorship, events, and corporate brand. Prior to that, he was group head of recruitment for Zurich Insurance Group, founder of A Live Music Company, and a brand manager at Procter & Gamble, where we both have a common background. Peter holds a master in economics and business administration from the University of St. Gallen and an MBA from Harvard Business School. In his free time, he enjoys sports, playing music, and spending time with his wife and his three daughters. Peter, you've been in influential management and leadership positions for 30 years. You find and develop leadership personalities. We've known each other for 18 years now, since I myself once found and accepted an exciting new professional challenge with the help of your company, Egon Zehnder International. In my experience, you, Peter, have many exceptional skills, one of which truly stands out for me in particular. You have a very holistic understanding of people. You sense their emotions, and you rationally recognize their talents and strengths. You exemplify a positive attitude and good leadership. You know all the facets of leadership, one of the many reasons why you're here today. I'm delighted that you're sharing some of your experience with the Lightwolf community today. And here is my first question to you. You are having an enormously impressive career. I know from working with you for years that people, success, and good leadership are important to you. Why is good leadership important to you, Peter?
Thank you, Stefan, first of all, for the generous introduction. Good leadership is important because it leads to a better world. It's as simple as that. And leadership is important for the generations to come, because the next generations will experience leadership and will be impacted on the way they will lead one day. It spills not only into the work environment, but also into our private lives, how we're led and how we're leading. It brings people together across borders, and it is really trickling down into all the facets of our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you very much. True and profound. Now, I think there are many different definitions of what good leadership means. What does it mean to you?
Good leadership to me means inspiring and motivating others so they can be at their best.
Mm-hmm. And if you break that down a little bit more into its elements, what are key elements, key components of good leadership for you, Peter?
I think it is about potential, and it is about the actual competency of leading. We differentiate in those two areas. And when we look at potential, it is really forward-looking and not looking back. And we at Egon Zehnder have identified four key potential criteria, one of which being able to inspire and engage others in their head and in their heart. which not everybody is capable of to the same degree. And in terms of the competency of people leadership, it's all about leading others. It's about developing others. But it's also about influencing others on a non-hierarchical scale. So influencing laterally or outside the organizations and bringing people along.
Yeah. Thank you.
But both these areas, right, we do measure potential, we do measure the competency of people leadership, needs to be complemented by serious and in-depth reference taking that are an absolute mandatory, because people who have worked for hours, long nights, for years with certain people are always more able to add additional components about someone's leadership capabilities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you recognize leadership talent in a person?
Talent, for the talent piece, we really look at potential, because otherwise you could also look at the results, right? But the potential, we use four key criteria that we have identified over many, many years of joint studies with Stanford Business School and London School of Economics. The most important one is curiosity, and we distinguish in two types of curiosity. One is about curiosity to take on new things from the outside world, and the other one is curiosity about your own development. Where are you? How can you keep growing? That's the most important of the four criteria. The second one is developing new insights, which is a more cognitive capability. Using analytical capabilities, but also creative and intuitive capabilities to derive to new insights. The third one is engagement, engaging others and bringing them along on your journey. And the fourth one is determination, all things around resilience, being able to get up again after a setback. These are the four potential criteria that we look at and measure when we look at the key leadership people.
Yep. Now, when I think of one of the books that inspired me a lot about leadership, maybe you read Jim Collins' Good to Great, Peter.
Many years ago. Absolutely.
Yeah. I enjoyed it so much that I reread it over last Christmas, really going into some more details, not just because I may have forgotten one or the other element, but I was really curious to see it now a second time and to see it with some more experience in my own career. It does talk about a balance between thinking and feeling. Now, when I look at our clients in leadership development programs or in strategy consulting or in change, I sometimes encounter people who favor more one or the other. Some say, you need to feel a lot more. Empathy is decisive. Yet others say empathy is overrated. You need to determine the right path. You need to be consistent. You need to be tough. People need to feel you. Now, I think there is no one style fits all. But I'm still very curious to understand your perspective, Peter. In good leadership, to what extent do you need to display your mind, and to what extent do you need to display your heart?
As you rightfully say, Stefan, I think there's not one size fits all. It really depends on so many things, which is probably one of the reasons why we have work to do on our side from Aegon Zehnder. Because it's not always the same, right? Otherwise, we could just take one set of potential top candidates and try to use them again in another one. But that's not the case. It really depends on what is required in the situation, in the current state the company is in the team the person will be surrounded by, in the cultural development of the geographies of priority at the moment. So there's really not one size fits all. And I think that's probably one of the key differentiators from good leaders to outstanding leaders, is that the outstanding leaders are able to adapt to a respective situation. and to a respective culture while still remaining authentic. And this is very rare that people can change their leadership style to what is needed while still being authentic.
Yeah, understand. Now, one thing that really made me laugh about myself, Peter, when I reflected my own career was assumptions. The biggest mistake I think I have made in my career is assumptions. I call it the black hole of assumptions. So one of my assumptions was that anyone who would like to learn how to lead, of course, will be open to learn, will be open to change her or his own thinking and approach to things. I was surprised. I've now been running our company, our team, since 11 years after time in the corporate world. And I always assumed there is no such thing as someone asking me for the leadership bottle. The leadership bottle symbolizing an attitude, which is, okay, here I am, your C-level. Here I am, your CEO. We've hired you guys. And now you please give me this cocktail of knowledge ready to consume. Give me that leadership bottle that I'm absolutely willing to drink. And then without changing anything on my own, without changing anything on the way I think or act, can you please make me a better leader? Peter, until 11 years ago, I thought this attitude doesn't exist. And I'm laughing about myself because I detected it does exist in some people. People expecting you or me to change them, to make them better by giving them something to consume without them changing anything in their own behavior. I have to really hold on myself not to laugh about it. It's arrogant, and maybe I shouldn't laugh about it. But my question to you is, in your strong, long, successful, and accomplished career, have you encountered something that really surprised you in the attitude of leaders?
Yes. I think to your first point, you know, what you're saying, changing versus remaining stubborn, right? So almost. And there is a good in stubbornness. It sounds terrible, but there is good in stubbornness. You know, in certain situations, particularly entrepreneurs need, on one hand, they need to have a certain stubbornness in order not to lose course, because they will need that conviction to keep course even in very difficult times. And all top leaders have that at times. And you need to be kind of keep on being on that course. But at the same time, you need to remain curious. You need to understand, and you need to understand, when do I now need to deviate versus when do I need to stay on course? So it's an interesting dichotomy, but I think a bit of both is not bad. But if somebody thinks, you know, they can drink a bottle of change and not be able to change, that just doesn't make a lot of sense. But frankly, I think I'm privileged to be in a profession where I don't really meet those people who think it's not necessary to listen. And it goes back to our previous potential criterion on curiosity. Mm-hmm. If curiosity is zero, people typically don't get very far.
Yeah, maybe I'm... But it was just me. Yeah, go ahead, Peter.
Interesting, Stefan. I have a client in my head that used to be with P&G, and we both know that P&G has a lot of top training. It was one of the key differentiators and USP, you know, for many, many years until today, that they provide great training to keep people growing. And there is one person who got really, really far at P&G. He made it into the group Exco. Went to one training and said, I'm never, ever going to attend a training again. Otherwise, I will leave. And he actually did it. He never had to attend any P&G training except for the very first one, because he just doesn't believe in it. So, and he got far, right? He got to the expo level. So, it, again, There's always exceptions. He's a curious person, but he did not go to any of those development or coaching trainings, and it seemed to work for him.
Yeah, and I believe I know who you're talking about, Peter, because I assume that that gentleman once was my own boss, at first my peer and then my boss. And yes, I mean, what I'm learning from having worked with this person so closely is there are many ways to get to Rome. Many people prefer learning in training, learning individually, but some people prefer learning alone by reading, consuming alone, and reflecting alone. There are different paths to success at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Related to this experience we both shared in Procter & Gamble, I think one of the things that P&G is really good at, while not being perfect, no human is perfect, no company is perfect, and also P&G would be the first to admit that it has opportunity in one or the other area. But I think one thing it really does well is measuring leadership. How important do you think, Peter, is it to once in a while measure leadership performance?
It's absolutely crucial. It's absolutely crucial to measure whatever gets measured gets done. And it holds true particularly for performance reviews. And if you don't measure leadership qualities and capabilities in the performance review, you have less impact on that dimension.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I would say many times in my experience, growth on the business side and growth on the people side, so growing your people, have gone hand in hand. Sometimes leaders grow the business, but they don't grow their people. While on the other hand, sometimes people grow their people, but maybe not their business. To what extent, Peter, have you seen those two things being disconnected? So growing the business on the one side and developing people versus those two things being strongly connected?
I think long term, the two are very much connected. I think this is just a question of time. So you can fix a business quickly without focusing a lot on people development. But if you don't work on any people development, there's not going to be a sustainable impact on the business performance. So I think it's just a question of time. Without developing people, you know, your development of the business will flatten at a certain point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's also my experience. Short term, you can do at the expense of growing people, but long term, they go hand in hand. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you made the same experience. Now, let's try one more attempt at this heart, this essence. Referring back to Jim Collins and Good to Great, this book that really inspired me, I felt confirmed, I felt reassured that the first distinguishing factor between those companies that do good over decades, so growing 7%, versus those companies who turn from good to great, i.e. growing 5 times faster over at least 15 years, so sustained faster growth. The first distinguishing factor is leadership, and the strongest differentiator in two words is willpower and humility of the CEO during the time of turning this business to steep growth. When you think about your profound experience, Peter, and you summarized in just a few words, what are those very few distinguishing factors between the many good leaders and the few outstanding ones?
I think the key differentiator is the ability to adapt your leadership style to the situation and culture and team at hand while remaining authentic. Sometimes it takes a tougher hand, sometimes it takes a softer glove, and it still needs to feel this is the real person behind it, because credibility will suffer as soon as the person is not perceived as authentic anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Love that picture also, the tougher hand or the softer glove. I very much relate with your statement. Now, translating this to your company, Peter, global business, very successful. What kind of leadership behavior do you expect from leaders at Egon Zehnder International?
We are a very special animal, dear Stefan.
Yeah.
Because we are really an equal partnership of entrepreneurs, and we generally don't like to be led. We are very a very democratic organism, like the Swiss system almost, I should say. And we want as little interference into our entrepreneurial freedom. And therefore, we love just to be encouraged, supported. We enjoy mutually supporting each other to try new things, to be bold, and to help each other as the most important criteria. And I would say above all, and that probably just kind of sums it all up, it's about creating a safe space so that everyone can really flourish and grow to the max of their capability.
Yeah. Great. Clearly understand. Now, change. I think it's true for this moment, as it's probably been true for many moments in the past, but it remains true now, and it may feel more true now than ever before, also given the arrival and the broad scale spread now of artificial intelligence. I think the world is currently changing faster and more than ever. What do you see as the biggest challenges for successful leadership today?
You mean AI related?
Maybe not only AI related. Let's really look broad. If you think about the topic of leadership, which to me is a 360 concept for everyone. It's not just a privilege and a necessity for those CEOs up there, out there. To me, it's a 360 concept. What is the biggest challenge for leadership in that broad sense today?
I think it's about priorities. Where do you invest the time and resources and energy in? How can you free up space and room to think and lead? And to what extent are you kind of led by the things that are getting towards you, right? Are you in control? Are you in charge? Do you define how much time you spend on reflecting, on strategizing, on leading, on coaching? And to what extent are you driven by what happens around you and you're reactive? I think that's probably the biggest leadership challenge. And I think AI provides amazing opportunities to create efficiencies that have never been here before on so many dimensions, everything around knowledge development, on facts, on communication, is incredibly enabled and fastened by AI. And should create room for leaders to form their judgment, to develop a feel for intuition, and to really kind of be focused on the leadership topics and developing leaders in and outside the organization.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. I can clearly see it. Yeah. Question to you, both professionally and personally, Peter. How do you develop yourself as a leader?
So first of all, I receive a lot of feedback from my colleagues. We typically work in small teams on mandates. And after each mandate and also during the mandate, we give each other feedback that is invaluable to me and I hope also for my colleagues. Second, I have just undertaken a 12-month performance coaching with another firm with 22 sessions across the areas of mental coaching, physical coaching, sleep and recovery, nutrition, and what we call coaching the core, which is more about purpose and life management, which I found very insightful also because we do this ourselves as a firm, to also see how others do it. But it was super insightful. And then I also do things like used Oura 2 times for 4 months a year back, and now again the last 4 months, to just kind of test new things. How do I react to changes in my daily routines, and what impact does it have? But then I also put the things aside again because I don't want to be hooked to those type of tools, but I find them very interesting. But most importantly, I think I learn most by our clients and candidates that I meet on a daily basis. I think it's just an amazing way to learn in such a condensed and compact way from the very best. And so that's my wealth of learning I have the privilege to receive every day.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you, Peter. Last thing today, there is a big number of people listening to you right now on all 5 continents. It's thousands and thousands who in the meantime have made listening to this podcast a habit. And I would like to offer you the opportunity to either ask a question or share a message with those people listening to you right now.
Thank you, Stefan. I will probably add 3 short insights. One is the question around energy. What is giving you energy? What is taking energy from you? I think it's probably the most valuable resource we have today. And I'm not sure to what extent we really reflect on it. There is an amazing book that my colleague Ricardo Sunderland just published. It's called Energy Advantage, How to Go from Managing Your Time to Managing Your Energy, that I found hugely insightful. I can only recommend it. The second one would be, when have you last asked your children for feedback on you as a parent, if you are a parent? I've done this now 2 times over the last 18 months ago, and then again 6 months ago. And it was such a joy for all of us, actually. So for my children, I did it one-on-one, of course, but also for myself, and hugely insightful. And there you really get the true, honest feedback, as you would probably also from your very best friends and from your spouse or partner. But out of the professional context, I think it's just very complementary to what we hear from our business environment. And then maybe the third one, and kind of linking it back to what you're doing, Stefan, with Lightwolf. What a beautiful name. You remember I reacted very spontaneously, very enthusiastically about the Lightwolf idea and concept, because I think leadership can and should be learned as early as possible. And I think the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts are a wonderful opportunity to learn leadership at a young and formative age, and it will have an incredible impact on your career. And it's not surprising to me anymore that the number of top leaders that I meet through my profession, there's an incredible over-representation of former scouts, which are not just by coincidence, but it's because they learned to lead in a very natural way in an early stage that formed them until the end of their professional careers.
Awesome. Dear Peter, I've taken so much from this conversation. I'm really grateful, including, but by far not limited to, an action. I will ask my 2 sons, 24 and 18, the 18-year-old is a Boy Scout, here in Elgere, here in Switzerland. I'll ask them for feedback. I've taken so much, and I bet this entire Lightwolf community has taken a lot of gold, of nuggets, of insights from listening to you. So I'm deeply grateful for you, for your time, for your perspective. Thank you very much for today's conversation, dear Peter Zehnder.
Thank you very much, Stefan. I enjoyed our conversation a lot. And thank you again for the wonderful opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you, Peter.
Bye-bye.